And if you are not spending time with God, if you are not being intimate with God, then that means that, you know, we wonder why we get sour and cranky and we have bad attitudes and why we get short with other people. You know, I find, man, when I'm walking with God and I'm intimate with God, I got a whole lot of patience for knuckleheads and foolishness. Because God speaks to my heart and God says, look, man, you need to be patient. You know, just calm down.
Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies and senior pastor at Bethany Baptist Church. We would like to thank you for joining us today for this edition of the Anchored in Jesus radio program, where we will be exploring the message, The Mountain of Intimacy with God. Before we begin our message today, we've been offering a book that I have written, Touched by the Breath of God. This is an eye-opening book where I go to great lengths to show that the Bible is the inspired word of God. It answers questions such as, who wrote the Bible? Didn't certain groups tamper with the Bible? Are there lost books of the Bible? Can we trust the Bible? These questions and many, many more are answered in this book, Touched by the Breath of God. Contact us here and we'll let you know how you can get a copy of Touched by the Breath of God.
But if you could open your Bibles to John chapter 6, and we want to begin by looking at one verse, John chapter 6 and verse 15. Now, you may remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Jesus feeding the 5,000. And we said how he had fed 5,000 men, plus there were women and children. So there were anywhere between 10,000 to 25,000 people that he fed. And then after he fed those individuals, that they began to be impressed by the miracle that Jesus did. And they said that he was a prophet that was coming to the world. And at that point, they wanted to take him and make him a king. But we see in verse 15, it says, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And so as we come today and look at this particular verse, you know, we want to talk about mountaintop experiences of intimacy. Mountaintop experiences of intimacy. Now notice what it says here in John chapter 15. It says that he departed again. He departed again. Now, we could almost kind of breeze right on past that, right? We could read that and we can look at how that before this, he fed 5,000, and then we can look at after this, and he walked on water. But what did he do in between? In between, it says that he departed again. Very interesting word. See, sometimes these little connecting words will preach, right? And so this one will preach right here, and from the standpoint of, it's the Greek word palem. And you know what it means? It means repetition or once more. And it says that he departed when? Again into a mountain alone by himself. It's interesting. Jesus had the repeated discipline of intimacy with God by going into a mountain by himself to pray. And it says he did it again. So this lets us know that this was a frequent discipline that Jesus had. And my brothers and sisters, if this is something that Jesus had to do, how much more do we think that we need to be doing the same thing? You know, intimacy in the mountaintop. Now, let me ask you a series of questions this morning. And we want to look at, and so this is what one of the things I presented at the conference yesterday. The first thing, like Moses, And I want you to begin to, evaluate in your own experience. I want you to begin to ask yourself these questions. Like Moses, do you make spiritual connections with God? The Bible says in Exodus 11:33 that Moses spoke to God as a man speaks face to face with another person. Are you going to the mountaintop? And are you having these intimate spiritual connections with God? Where you come into his presence and you know that you are in the presence of the Almighty God of the universe. Now, again, I'm not saying that this has to be a daily experience, even though it would be nice if it was daily. But do you regularly, on a frequent basis, are you making spiritual connections with God? Think about that. And you know that you broke through. A lot of times when we pray, it seems like our prayers just hit the ceiling and then bounce back down. But are you breaking through the ceiling, and are you getting through to God? Secondly, like Enoch, do you sense the presence of God in your life throughout the day? I love what it says about Enoch. It says that Enoch walked with God. Yeah, God, how you doing? Lord, I just appreciate you so much. And Lord, I'm glad that you're in my life. The song that they sang before the message, right? He walks with me and he talks with me. And throughout the day, do you have that talk with God? The Bible says that Enoch walked with God and that Enoch was not because God took him. God took him, right? They were walking. Now, some of y'all heard this before, so bear with me, right? That Enoch was walking with God, and they were fellowshipping, and they were talking, and that Enoch said, God, this fellowship is so sweet. And God said, yes, it is. And they looked around, and it was dark, right? And God said to Enoch, man, look, we're closer to my house than we are your house. Why don't you just come on home? And then Gladys Knight put it this way. Neither one of us want to be the first to say goodbye. There was a sweet fellowship between the two of them. And you know, the problem sometimes with us that we are walking with God, right? We are walking with God, but what do? We start moonwalking. God is not looking for moonwalkers, right? Because moonwalkers are going back in the other direction. God is looking for people who want to walk with him. Do you sense the presence of God in your life throughout the day? As you are driving in your car, do you sense God's presence there? As you go on your job, do you sense the presence of God with you? When we talk about intimacy with God, there's a sense of knowing that the presence of God is, and I'm not talking about some spooky type thing. I shared the story about when we were in seminary, there was a lady up the street who, her and her husband were having problems. And so it was in the evening, and my wife went up there and she began to minister to the lady. And she, she was up there a long time, and so I just went to bed. And so I went to bed, and my wife came, and she was telling me, what was going on and how we needed to pray. And when she came in, she was like turned toward me talking. And then all of a sudden, she just leaned on the other side, and she let her arm, lean on the other side of the bed. And when she put her arm down, let me say before that, I just kept telling her that, there's something in here. I was telling her, there's something in here. And I just sensed the presence. I could feel a presence. And she put her arm down on the side of the bed, and there was a cat on the side of the bed. And we don't even own a cat, right? And so she put her arm down, and her arm hit the cat. The cat screamed, ah! My wife screamed, ah! And I screamed, ah! And I ran, man, through, and I tried to chase the cat and get a cat out of the house, and the cat just ran all through my house, and finally I just opened up the door, and the cat went outside. But when I was laying there in the bed, you know, I just felt that there was something, there was a presence, you know, that was in there. And you know, so you know how you can be sitting somewhere and somebody will come into the room and they won't make any noise, and you just sense that there's a presence. There's a presence. And so Enoch sensed the presence of God throughout the day. Are you like Daniel? Daniel, he received intimate revelations from God. Because Daniel was intimate, that God spoke to Daniel in chapter 2. He was able to not only interpret Nebuchadnezzar's dream, but he was even able to tell Nebuchadnezzar what he dreamt. And that was about the four world empires that were to come. And then we look at Daniel chapter 9, verses 20 through 27, where he talks about the 70 weeks, where he prophesied that God gave Daniel a prophecy almost to the day that if somebody figured it out, they would tell you when Jesus was going to be crucified. That's how powerful that prophecy in Daniel 9 is. And so Daniel received intimate revelations. Let me ask you, my friends, this morning, are you receiving intimate revelations about God's will for your life? What God wants you to do? Are you receiving intimate revelations about how you are to interact with the people in your life? How God wants you to treat them, how God wants you to care for them, how God wants you to love. Are you receiving revelation about God's will for you on your job and how you are to minister to people on your job? Are you receiving God's revelation about how God wants you to serve him? If we can go weeks and weeks and weeks and not get anything from God, we have to ask ourselves the question, are we being intimate with the God of the universe? You know, if you can go on and you don't hear anything from him, God doesn't speak to you about things in your life, that you're in his word, and he doesn't speak to you about anything in his word, then you have to ask yourself the question, how intimate am I being with God? Are you like Samuel? See, some of us have to drown out the noise of the world. You know, I think of what it says in 1 Corinthians 15. It says, there are many voices in the world. Wow. There are many voices in the world. And there are all these voices that are competing with God's voice. You know, we got the voice that telling us that you need to have it your way. We got the voice that tells us we do it all for you. We got the voice that tells you that you need to buy this or you need to have that. We got all these voices that are coming at us. But my brothers and sisters, let me ask you today, are you hearing the voice of God? Samuel wasn't sure. He thought he was hearing God's voice. And he thought he was hearing Eli's voice. He thought Eli was calling him. And he went to Eli on several occasions and said, did you call me? And there's a voice, there were voices that were going around, right? Did you call me? And Eli, man, he's supposed to be the man of God. He should have known right away. But he was dealing with his own issues. And finally, Eli said, I perceive that the Lord is calling you. That the next time you hear, you sit down, or you lay down and you say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Right? Are you able to shut out the noise of the world to hear the voice of God? See, the problem is that, you know, we can recognize, let me say this, that yesterday I spoke at this conference, right, up in Evans City. Boy, that was a ride up there, right? So I spoke at this conference, and I didn't speak until the afternoon. And, you know, I was greeting people and going around, and I had at least three people that said, I know that voice. I know that voice. Yeah. Pastor Glaze, anchored in Jesus, 1 o'clock. No, we come on 7 o'clock. Right? But they recognized my voice. They understood my voice. And I'm saying, do you hear God's voice? Are you able to recognize the voice of God? That's just a little quiz. And I mean, and if you answer this quiz and you say, man, none of those things are characteristic of my life, then you need what we're going to talk about today, intimacy with God. I like what Charles Stanley says. Charles Stanley, oh, so let me say this, right? So I wrote a book, And actually, the church went through this book during care group. And, you know, we use this. So just about, I think just about everybody in the church has a copy of this book. But I was thinking that we've had some new people that have come and maybe visitors that are here today. And actually, we talk about in the book how to have intimacy with God, how to pursue intimacy with God. And so I just wanted to say, you know, it's not too early to even think, start thinking about Christmas, right?
Stocking stuffers.
No, just kidding. So I'm going to do something special today. I'm going to sit out at the table, and if you want a copy of this book, and the only reason that I'm doing this is because, you know, I had to order a whole new shipment yesterday for the conference. So I got a bunch, and you know, if you want one, I'll be out there at the table in the vestibule. I will sign it for you, or sign it to whoever you want to get a copy for. All right, now that advertisement is out of the way. All right, many voices in the world, right? Many voices in the world. All right, Charles Stanley. I love what Charles Stanley says. He says that our intimacy with God determines the impact of our lives. But notice that he puts something in there, right in the middle of his statement. He says, the highest priority for our lives. Intimacy with God determines the impact of our lives. And what is the highest priority for your life, right? The highest priority for your life is not your job, even though it's important that you go to work. You know, the highest priority is not that you become a member of a church, even though God wants people to be a part of a fellowship. The highest priority is not your spouse, your children, or your grandchildren. Come on, let's be honest now. Let's be honest. Now. We want to think that. But the highest priority in your life, which is something that sometimes we put at the lower rung on our priority list, your highest priority is intimacy with God. Why? Because you know what? Everything else about your life will spring out of Wow. Man, if I'm intimate with God, he's going to tell me to love my wife like no other. He's going to give me that Barry White voice when I can come up and croon my wife, right? If I'm intimate with God, if I'm intimate with God, he's going to let me know how to react with people, knuckleheads that are in my life. That if I'm intimate with God, he's going to tell me what, you know, what my course of life should be. That's why it should be our number one priority, is to become intimate with God, because out of that flows how we relate to everybody else. And if you are not spending time with God, if you're not being intimate with God, then that means that, you know, we wonder why we get sour and cranky and we have bad attitudes and why we get short with other people. You know, I find, man, when I'm walking with God and I'm intimate with God, I got a whole lot of patience for knuckleheads and foolishness. Because God speaks to my heart and God says, look, man, you need to be patient. You know, just calm down. You know, sometimes, you know, you go to places, like you get in the store and you get in the line, and man, there's, you know, when I walked in the store, there was nobody in line. And now, man, there's 15 people. Come on, man, you mean to tell me that you don't have change? You know, why in the world, why you got to stand there, get your change, and then put it back in? Just get out of line. You already got your stuff, right? Oh, man, not now somebody got to come and get in the lottery line. Oh, man, come on. Right? And you're sitting back there, you're getting all angst and frustrated. Right? But just think, if you, what a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. The choir sang, right? He walks with me, and he talks with me. And if I talk to God while I'm in the line, oh, Lord, you're so good. Lord, I thank you because you know I need patience, and you're working on it right now, right? I mean, you have a whole different perspective on things when intimacy with God is a high priority on your list. And so we need to realize that we are actually shortchanging ourselves, and we are shortchanging others when we are not spending time connecting with God on an intimate level. That you are shortchanging yourself, and you are shortchanging the people around you, because God says, look, man, come on, you're better than that. You are better than that. And the reason that sometimes we don't live up to that is because we're not connecting with God. All right. Let me share with you three things before I get. See, I'm not in the message right now. I'm going to get in the message here in a second. Three things. People who are intimate with God, right? People who are intimate with God. There are characteristics about their lives. You know, I like this Indian proverb, and it says, do not dance in public without first dancing in private. In other words, you know, if you're not sure if you can do the Macarena, or if you're not sure if you can do the Hokey Pokey, right, then before you get out in the public and start stumbling over yourself, you better get in the private and say, you put your left foot in, you take your left foot out, you better understand that, right? Okay, so here's my joke for today, right? You know, the guy that invented the Hokey Pokey, he died when he was 94 years old. And, you know, they sent reporters to report on his service, and it said that the problem came when they tried to put him in the casket, because they put his left foot in all right. Man, my sermons would probably be a lot more shorter if I'd leave all this. All right. So, you know, you don't dance in public without first, you know, you got to make sure that, you know, you're able to do this, right? And people who have danced with God in private, people who have been intimate with God in private, there's three things that we know about them. Three things that we know, that when you are intimate with God in private, the first thing is that you take great stands for God. That you stand up for God. That when you've been intimate with God, and you know the heart of God, and you know what God wants, and then you see it, and you see it being violated, that you stand up. You take great stands for God. Just think about it. I know when I was growing up, we did this thing. It's called, and some of you young people might not know this term, but I know some people around my age know this term. It's called capping, right? Y'all remember capping? And so what was capping? You know, capping was when you started talking about each other, right? You said, I'm going to cap on this person. Right, I'm gonna cap on them. Right, so you said, man, you got a big head, and then you got beaver teeth, and you got big feet, and you got smelly armpits. Right, you just go back and forth, right, until somebody says, and your mother. Oh no! Oh no! We could laugh and we could joke and we could go back and forth, but man, you better not talk about my mama. Why? Why? Because, again, let me throw back another word. That's my raise, man.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Mountain of Intimacy with God. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Mountain of Intimacy with God, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Mountain of Intimacy with God. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Mountain of Intimacy with God, or you can call us at 877-831-5060. If you would like to view our website, where there are over 400 teaching resources, you can visit us at anchoredinjesus.org, and you can download the many resources that are available there. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchoring in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It is through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and on behalf of our volunteer staff, I would like to remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.